In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. One of my favorite things about the first half of March, it's really the end of February, but really it's, okay. As much as I do better living through Claritin, I love watching crocuses pop up. I love watching tulips pop up because, let's face it, Michigan winters are great until about the 20th of January, and then they kind of get really old really fast. And I say that having lived in California for 3.5 years, and I missed this weather. So if I really get to griping about it, just remind me, well, Christina, you used to live in California. Anyway. But I love watching crocuses pop up, and especially at my mom's house, because at the top of the we have a straightaway driveway with a teardrop in front of the house. And at the top of the driveway, Grandpa was a tree farmer. But there's myrtle, you know, the ground cover myrtle, covering that area. And so not only do the crocuses have to make it through the somewhat still kind of frozen ground, but they also have to make it up through the myrtle, or as Evelyn will call it, the moitle. But I love that. And I love watching the top of the canopy of trees get thicker. In Mom's yard, because I told you, Grandpa was a tree farmer. He built the house that Mom lives in 1966. It's the house my mom and her siblings grew up in. We moved in 1994 and lived with my grandparents until they passed. There are 26 trees around the yard. Some of them have stories, like the pine trees that you remember Arbor Day at school, and they'd send you home with a pine tree, and most times it didn't survive. Well, Granddad was a tree farmer. Oh, yeah. Those trees are taller than the house. There's those ones. There's the, we call it Old Faithful. It's the maple tree right off the back deck that was transplanted from 1881 Bolin, which was the house that my grandparents bought in 1957, back when Grandpa worked for Chrysler. And they'd said that they were moving the headquarters to Auburn Hills from Highland Park. Well, they didn't move to Auburn Hills until long after Grandpa retired, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, they moved to 1881 Bolin in 1957. Then they outgrew that house, and so they built the one on Muir. So there's the tree that was transplanted. Then you go back to the middle part of the backyard, and we call that one the fire truck tree. Why is it the fire truck tree? Because Grandpa was a volunteer fireman for Troy and ran it over with a fire truck. Brought it home, splinted it together, and it's the biggest tree in the yard now. There's the tree that I spent an entire summer hugging. I did not think California turned me into a tree hugger. Then I watched half the tree fly away in a windstorm. Yeah, I spent a summer hugging that tree. It's doing just fine. It does that, and it's one of those things where, yes, trees come with maintenance. Grandpa, having been a fireman and building the house in 66, back when the neighborhood behind us was an open field, we have a burn pit that starts here and goes to here and is about as wide as this. And it's grandfathered in. It's legal because the back part of it is narrower, and it has the angle irons that he can put the cooking grate on, so it's a cooking surface. You don't cook over a working fire is all I'm saying. Anyway, One of the jobs in the springtime, all summer long, really, you have to go pick up limbs. When you have that many trees, you have to pick up limbs before the lawn can get mowed. Granddaddy, being from Arkansas and having been a sharecropper's kid, could let out a whistle that would stop a school bus 3 doors down the street. Did that once. But we'd be in the house, and he'd be out on the lawn tractor, and he'd let out that and we'd come running, what's up? And he'd point. Well, there was a limb, and we'd have to pick it up. So, trees drop limbs. when they die or in windstorms. Trees also need to be thinned out. I learned this the hard way because that's what happened when half the tree, well, no, not that one, but when the other two, other windstorm, mom's getting real good at fixing chain link fence. Anyway, if you call the tree service guys, and we use Father and Son down there out of Oxford, they will tell you, you need to thin out the branches. Trees don't know when to stop growing until they're dead. So you have to thin them out so that there's not so much for the wind to catch, and rather the wind can kind of blow through it. When the tree service comes to trim your trees, though, you have to be there. An adult, responsible adult over the age of 18 has to be there to approve the work before they shimmy up the tree to cut it off. Because as anyone will tell you, a tree is not hair. It will not grow back, and no, we can't glue it back into place. Learn that one the hard way. Our crabapple tree does not look the same. Anyway, if you cut it off, it does not grow back. Doesn't mean the tree stops growing, but that branch is done. So we get to our gospel reading this morning. And you have to remember that in this episode, in these stories, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his imminent death. And he's saying, listen, these are the lessons, this is the stuff you need to be able to do this, because I won't be here forever. And that time's coming sooner than any of us want to admit. He says, a branch can't produce fruit by itself, but must remain in the vine. Likewise, you can't produce fruit unless you remain in me. The kids got it. The grapevine keeps growing, but the parts you cut off, well, it goes in the rubbish bin. Jesus was using imagery that his disciples could understand. Jesus was using something that they could get. If you cut it off, the part in your hand goes in the fire. It dries up, it blows away. It doesn't produce grapes anymore. He continues, he says, without me, you can't do anything. If you do not remain in me, you will be like a branch that is thrown out and dries up. Those branches are gathered up, thrown into a fire, and burned. God's got a brush pile. It would be easy to understand that Jesus' disciples at that time were all fine, fun, and dandy with being his buddies, being his captive audience when he needed one, hearing from him, hearing his stories, going out and finding the kid with the bread and the fish to feed the masses. But what Jesus is telling him is that's not enough. You have to do the work too. You have to get at it too. That parallels with us today. And I think what it really boils down to is that if we believe in a God that loves us and in a God that has a love for us, that nothing can separate us from that love, then sometimes it is not God doing the cutting off, but we cutting ourselves off from the vine. If we cut ourselves off from God, then we're going in the brush pile, the refuse bag, the compost heap. We can't produce fruit. We can't do it without him. Trouble is, there are plenty of distractions out there. Plenty of other voices that say, oh, well, if you cut yourself off and splice yourself into my plant, we'll do great things together. But Jesus doesn't just say, I am the vine. He says, I am the true vine. It doesn't work to get connected, spliced into other plants that are not the plant we belong connected to. But Jesus tells his disciples, you were chosen. I chose you. He tells them, you are part of the vine. The fruit you produce because you are connected to the vine will last. What is that fruit? It's the lessons and the teachings and the leading by the example that was set for them by Christ. Jesus was teaching them. He says, listen, I'm not going to be here forever. You have to carry on and do this for me. This is your calling. You were chosen for this. You were appointed for this. You were anointed for this. You were baptized to do this. You were called special by me, by God, by me. For such a time as this. They can't do it by themselves. So he says to them, and I'll flip back here and read this. I have said these things to you so that my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. This is my commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than to give up one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I don't call you servants any longer because servants don't know what the master is doing. Instead, I call you friends because everything I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You didn't choose me. But I chose and appointed you so that you could go and produce fruit and so that your fruit could last. As a result, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. I give you these commandments so that you can love each other. So that holds true for us today, too. That's still our calling this day, too. It says, what is fruit? Jesus said, my Father is glorified when you produce much fruit and in this way prove that you are my disciples. So like I said to the kids, what is the fruit? Well, it's not grapes. I don't have grapes growing off of me. But it's the way we interact and the way we react. It's the way we reach out to each other and to the people that we normally wouldn't reach out to. It's how we love the ones who are the most in need of it and the hardest to do, the hardest to love. We do really good at giving lip service to our faith. That's not just us, that's Christianity at large. We do really good giving lip service to it. But that's not enough. It's through the actions. Remember that song? And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know that we are Christians by our love. It's all great to talk about it. It's great to talk up Jesus and talk up the resurrection and talk up the faith that we have and the faith we've been saved by. If we don't pair that with the actions that go with it, the actions that show it, actions speak louder than words. How many times have we heard that? I can hear my grandmother's voice. Christina Louise. Actions speak louder than words, and you are not acting very Christian right now. God bless Granny. But like trees needing to be pruned, like trees needing to be thinned out, we need to be willing to prune ourselves a little bit. We need to be willing to prune off the twigs and the branches and the dried up leaves that are taking away from the fruit we've been called to produce. I remember one time Jonathan must have been 4 years old. And Granddad being a farmer, he helped him grow. Jonathan wanted to grow a pumpkin. That pumpkin was bigger than the pulpit because Grandpa went off and pruned off the other vines and pruned off the other flowers so that everything was going to that one pumpkin. We need to do the same in our lives. We need to do the same in our actions. We need to prune off the things that take away from growing the fruit that we've been called to grow. We need to do all things through love. There's way too much spite in this world. There's way too much negativity in this world. Ooh. You go out and just love somebody anyway. I was having a conversation with Lydia yesterday. That child, man, oh man. And she says, you gotta love your enemies, Auntie Christina. I said, yeah, you too, Lydia. And she says, I don't know what that means. I said, well, we probably should talk about that. I said, well, what do you think it means? Who are your enemies? And she says, well, the kids who pick on me. And I put the mother bear instinct away and like, who's picking on my kid? I said to her, I said, yeah, that's part of it. I said, who else are your enemies? Who else are the people who are not your friends, who are not your close buddies? And she says, well, the people I don't talk to at school, just because we don't hang out together. Okay, I said, so how would you love those people? How would you love a bully? How would you love somebody who is having a rough day? How would you love somebody who picked on you all the time? How would you show God's love to that person without ever actually mentioning God? And at 6.5-year-old, who is wise beyond her years and as flaky as she can get sometimes, she's wise beyond her years, and she says, well, if they're sitting by themselves, I can go talk to them. If they don't have anybody to eat lunch with, I can sit and eat lunch with them. If I see them sitting there crying or having a bad day, I can just go sit next to them and say, hey, you're not alone. From the mouths of babes. So let's go grow our fruit. Let's prune out the things, the branches, the twigs, the shriveled up grapes on our vine. Let's ignore the people who say, ooh, come splice yourself into my plant, because you're like, I'm part of the one true vine. And in all things, remember to do it all in love. Because he who loved us first gave up his life for us. And the scripture says there is no greater gift. Thanks be to God. Amen.